the sadhu. The tree is very meaningful, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. We normally offer the tree because these are the three symbols of offering that are very meaningful. We offer the incense, then we offer the candle that lights up. Then we offer the clear water, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you rejoice with all this wholesomeness, generosity, sadhu, 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 sincerity, the faith and the wholesomeness. Then do it with mindfulness, awareness, be attentive, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. As you rejoice, you are mindful, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This coconut has to be careful, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's a bit heavy, huh? Yeah. You make sure you get hold of the plate, huh? The coconut can drop, but the plate try not to drop. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. No need the tray, no need the tray. Just sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, you can be seated. We shall now compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya. Then we will pay homage to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then after that, we will pay respect to Triple Jap. Then we can start our chanting. Okay. Now we will chant the salutation to Sakyamuni Buddha, followed by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the other great beings. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwan Siin Pusa. Namo Kwan Siin Pusa. Namo Kwan Siin Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Okay, we will chant the salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, now you can be seated. Then we can commence our chanting. Turn to page 4 of the chanting book. We will start off with the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarpaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambar ayutena dupenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacchana muttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusimenanena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang avivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, turn to page 18, the last page. We will do the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarities and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Understanding the significance of offering of water, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and wisdom, understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we just diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our spirit and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, so we will now rejoice with Yuan Zhan's offering also. We offer it together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She has brought over some nice peaches and mooncake also. Okay. Okay, good. We still have extra 2 minutes before 8:30, so you can meditate for 32 minutes. Okay. As usual, for those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. Then, for those who are new, you remember to go back and read the blue book. There's a blue book on meditation. Based on the transcript of the Thursday meditation class talk, dated, I think it's 13th of September 2013, the blue color, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. You go back and read that one and you will understand. Then maybe for those who are new, I will just give some simple instruction. Okay, my wife is there. She can help to off the light. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you straight away can start your meditation. Then I will give some short instruction for those who are still new and who need instruction. If you need to train your mind to develop the mindfulness or sati, then you train. If you still have mental hindrance, you have to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty, and that one you have to do it during puja and when you are at home through a very good religious routine, a daily religious routine where you develop the puja within the day. When you wake up early morning, pay respect triple gem, then renew your faith, chant the salutation, then renew your precept, take refuge, and determine to meditate for a while. Then after that, you can go about doing your whatever duty. If you're a housewife, you have to do your household duty. If you're a career person, you have to do your career activity. Especially those who need to work, you have to go and attend to your work. Then after that, you maintain daily mindfulness throughout the day. Then whenever you have free time, like your lunch break or what, or when you are in the office early, you can still meditate for a while before the office starts. If you don't have a room, then you can just relax and silent, maintain awareness. If you have a room or you have a place where you can go and quiet yourself down to develop the meditation, you should go. Then when you leave your house, remember to pay respect to Triple Gem. When you come back, remember to pay respect to Triple Gem. Then before you sleep or rest, remember to pay respect to Triple Gem. Then develop your meditation again. If you can establish your religious routine this way, your spiritual faculty will develop, your daily mindfulness will develop. Then in between, during your daily life, maintain awareness, attentiveness on whatever thing you do, body and mind as one. Just develop this daily mindfulness, then develop awareness of your four posture. Then for meditation, if your spiritual faculty are still weak, the mental hindrance will be there, your mind will think a lot, become heedless, and it's very difficult for you to become peaceful or quiet, because these hindrances are the mental states that will hinder you from becoming peaceful or mindful and aware within. And these hindrances come about because of your habitual tendency, because of your delusion, lack of understanding, lack of the spiritual faculties. So a very good way to help you decondition this heedless thinking is the mind sweeping method. You can use it if you are still new. Mind sweeping method is very simple. You just sit in a relaxed posture, body and mind relax, make sure your backbone is straight. Then you relax every mind state within your body and mind. Then you silence everything and maintain attention in your forehead. If you can feel or detect any tension, any stress within, then you just relax, relax, and relax all of the muscle within your forehead. Then after that, you sweep your mind down from the forehead, you sweep down to your eye muscle. Again, you feel, don't think, just feel, and relax into all the mind state. feel the eye muscle and relax into it. Any tension, any tightness or any stress within, again, silently just relax, relax and relax them. Feel them soothingly relax. Then move on to your facial muscle, do the same. Every strand of your facial muscle, make sure it's all relaxed. When you feel and relax, you don't think. That's how your mind becomes quiet and peaceful very fast. Then in order to assist you further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy. And when there is joy, your facial muscle naturally relax because there is happiness. Then you can radiate love and metta to yourself to develop the inner well-being. The mind-sweeping metta can bring about inner peace, but you need metta to bring about inner well-being. You can recite as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it. When you recite, may I, this body and mind of ours, you must feel your own body and mind. Be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your own body and mind, each and every cell of it. Then this inner well-being, they will spread throughout your body to every cell within, and it will boost up your immune system and make you peaceful, calm and happy. So this inner peace leading to inner joy is very important. Then you continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to your loved ones and to all beings within this vicinity. May all my loved ones, together with all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Kayanamitas, or Dhamma friends, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this same metta to all beings within the whole of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth. Then the whole of the solar system, our galaxy and the Milky Way. And then to all beings within the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy. Well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be already more calm and more peaceful. Then we come back to the mind sweeping method. You feel your facial muscle. Again, feel, don't think, just feel, relax every part. Then move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, do the same, feel, relax, hand, back to shoulder, again, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area, your chest area. Just silence everything and just stay there. You can detect any tension or any vibration or any of your movement, especially your heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there and just maintain awareness, feel. If you are still new, you cannot detect anything, it's okay. Then you can relax your heart and chest area. Just like how you relax your forehead, you feel if there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silently relax and relax and relax every part of the muscle within your heart and chest area. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you can move your attention down to your stomach. Do the same. Feel. Relax. Don't think. Just feel. And relax. Then you move it to your abdomen. Do the same. Feel. Relax. Then to your buttock. Feel. Relax. Leg. Feel. Relax. Then you can reverse all this. Sweep it backward. Feel your leg. Relax every part. Buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area, your chest area, again, feel. Maintain silent, then relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, feel and relax them all. Then your facial muscle, feel, relax them all. Your eye muscle, feel, relax them all. Forehead, feel, relax them all. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. This is the silent mind, the meditative mind. So you need to stabilize this silent mind or awareness within. When you got no thought, no thinking, you are already mindful and aware. The moment thought arises, there is no more mindfulness. So in order to be ever mindful, you need to stabilize this silence. A very good way is to develop the mindfulness of this in and out breath. For those who have your own meditation object, you can use them to anchor your silent mind so that it is always mindful of the object of meditation. For those who don't have an object of meditation, you can go and develop anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. In the same way as you feel your forehead, now you maintain attention at your nostril, in front of your nostril. Maintain awareness. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Means the moment the mind detects the breathing, whether it's in or out breath, mind and body move as one. Means the mind and the breath move as one without thought. That is mindfulness without thought. So, whenever this mind wanders off, because if you are new, you are not trained, it's not easy to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. Within split second, the mind will wander off. You need to be patient to develop the training of it. If you are new, then you always remember this mind will wander off many times, but every time it wanders off, don't react, don't fight, don't become unhappy. Just maintain calmness, maintain mindfulness to bring the attention back to the breathing. Then again, the moment the breath and the awareness move as one, you develop attentiveness of it, awareness of it. So exactly as per the instruction of Anapanasati, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. If you maintain attentiveness, attention on the breathing. Not long, Anapanasati was stabilized. The moment the breath and the mind move as one without thought, sati will develop. When sati develops, your mindfulness will be very clear. When you are mindful, you are without thought. And during that time, the mind transforms, become very quiet and very peaceful. Then you will experience what they call piti. Piti is a very calm state of mind. Piti is a spiritual calmness, a spiritual peace that you will experience. Then sometimes the peace is so intense, it becomes like a rupture. They call it spiritual rupture or spiritual joy. There is so much joy within the mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then as you continue to relax into it and maintain silent mindfulness, this piti will transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss. A very blissful state of mind, a very much more refined state of piti. As you develop sukha, your mind will become very, very blissful. There is a lot of calmness within. There is a lot of joy. Then you continue to relax into this mind state and allow it to stabilize. As you maintain more and more clear awareness of all this mind state, as you develop the ability to relax into them, try not to focus initially. Unless you want to experience some form of spiritual calmness or what they call jhanic state of mind, then you can go into it. Then as it develops, you have to relax and allow that calmness to withdraw. Otherwise, you will enter samatha or what they call jhanic experience. Then the energy will build up. Then you are focusing and concentrating. You are no longer in the state of clear attentiveness or awareness. So you need to release this mind state out and maintain upacara samadhi before you go into apana samadhi. Just relax and allow it to be. Then maintain the silent, the awareness within. Then relax into every mind state that arises. As you do that, after a long time, anapanasati will slow down until it becomes like very subtle, like no more breathing. When you reach that mind state, it's a very good sign of progress because that mind has transformed and developed into what they call pahasati. Pahasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. When the mind is completely silent, quiet, without thought, but not in concentration, not in absorption, not in one-pointedness, is a free state of mind that is just silent and aware within. That is the mind state that you have to develop. That is pahasati. Then when pahasati arises, you just continue to relax and maintain the silence. After a while, when you have stabilized that, the mind that has pahasati will be in the state of sati. Everything it comes to experience through the senses, there is sati, there is awareness. Then all of your movement, they are like magnified. Then your subtle breathing like become clear to you again. You can detect them again. Then wherever you locate this mind, it is very sensitive. You relax and allow it to be. You allow it to stay at the heart and just silent. It will start to detect a lot of things. All of the vibration, your heartbeat, or whatever, it will start to detect. but do not concentrate and focus. Just stay silent. Just maintain awareness and relax into every mind state. When you relax, the awareness will open up. The awareness will become spacious awareness without a center. Then you can continue to silent and just relax. Later on, it will detect the gateway. Then you just allow that nature to develop the meditation on its own. Then you will come to experience fantastic transformation in you. The yin and yang, all the energy that you have developed over the years of meditation, they will start to melt within the gateway. Then it will transform you internally. Then you just continue to relax into it and silence and maintain the awareness. Then remember the four support. Relax, aware, 24-hour. Then the last one is trust. Trust is without thought, without any interference from the thinking process or even the ego that wants to meditate. There is no meditator, there is no mental movement, there is just silent inner awareness. This is the real meditation. Okay, with this, I will allow you all to develop your own meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Yeah. Then for those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. For those who want to continue, they can continue to meditate. you can continue. Produce up and out slowly. Mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness within. Then develop the ability to be mindful throughout the day in the midst of life. That is the real meditation. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Then after that, we will continue with our sharing of the Diamond Sutta. I will read to you all the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sattha Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditadbu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 okay, we shall pay respect to Triple Gem. Then we end the puja. Vedang pujami. Damang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. Now you can relax yourself, maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we will continue from where we stop. I think we stopped at page 40, the previous Tuesday class. Before we start the sutta, we turn to page 1, verse for opening a sutta. Then together we shall recite this opening verse. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 40. Oh, 39, sorry. We were at the last paragraph. We finished the earlier part above. As we have explained, Shenhua's commentary, he just mentioned about morality, concentration and wisdom, which in Pali is Sila, Samadhi and Panya, to overcome the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, which he termed as greed, anger and stupidity. So he mentioned that relentlessly cultivating Sila, Samadhi and Panya and putting to rest greed, hatred and delusion are the means to subdue the mind. But there was not much explanation. So last Tuesday we have gone through. We have developed the understanding. Then Shenhua just mentioned, when one subdues the false mind, the true mind, which is the eternal mind, eternally dwells as a matter of course. But actually this true mind was all the time there. It is never, like, even a moment not there. The problem with living being is when you are heedless, you are lost in thought. That's why you cannot be aware of that true mind, that true nature. That true nature is just aware, silence, stillness, tranquility, the oneness without anything inside there. So because living beings are so deluded, they cling and grasp on to the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that that is what they are, and they dwell in it. And because of that, they cease to understand this true mind. They cease to have any awareness of it. So because of that, Shenhua said, you need to cultivate until you can subdue the false mind. The false mind refers to our thinking mind, conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind. So this false mind, you cannot subdue. When you subdue, means you try to control, you try to suppress, you try to develop concentration, jhana, samadhi. Apana Samadhi especially. But the mundane mind is what it is because of delusion, because of ignorance. So no amount of suppression, concentration can help you liberate that mind. It will only suppress it. Suppress it means the latent tendency, the defilement, the delusion, they are all being suppressed. And it become a conditioned state. That's why that way of meditation, you cannot free the mind, you cannot liberate the mind. the mind has to be in its natural state of awareness without any concentration or absorption of samadhi, apana samadhi, to hold it. It has to be a free mind. Then only you will be able to find out whether the defilements are there, whether the delusions are still there, whether you have rooted them out or not. Otherwise, there is no way. Because when they are suppressed, it cannot surface. So it's like you are in a state of enlightenment, or in the enlightened state. But because these defilements are not rooted out, later on, as you get older, as you lose your ability to stay in that type of concentrated state of mind or jhanic state, then the form and mind will have problem. Then you will not be able to cope with the worldly reality, the reality of this form, the reality of this mind, the reality of the world, the reality of sleeping being. Sakayaditi, self-delusion and ignorance will set in. Then the form and mind will develop suffering again. You will have fear, you will have worry, you will have anxiety. And because of that, living being cannot liberate. So Xianhua, he used this word subdue, which you have to be careful. If you are trying to control it or suppress it, then you subdue, like a very fierce animal. You subdue it through what? Through hunting it down, understand? Or through tranquilizing it. But if you can develop the understanding of it, you don't have to fight, you don't have to subdue, you don't have to do anything. The moment you awaken to the characteristics of nature, the moment you understand that this is not what you are, then that mind that has that understanding will stand above, will awaken, will liberate, and is not deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness created by the aggregates of mind. Then all this, especially the thought, it fails to have any power over him or she. The form and mind that is connected to the understanding will develop the wisdom. And after they had that wisdom, they will not be deluded by what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they taste, what they tactile feel or think. The six senses, they are very different after that. Then the aggregates of mind, because the form of mind is still around, is still connected, they become pure aggregate, non-grasping, non-clinging, non-deluded. And because it's no longer deluded, it will not hold, it will not cling, it will not drop, it will not even create. It is just silence, stillness, awareness, understanding. Then they can use this five aggregate of form and mind, which is what the living being is all about, to live life, to experience life, and to develop whatever it wants to, while the form and mind is still within the conditioned world to support them. So all this understanding, they will come. So you don't use that word subdue. You liberate that mind. The mind that realizes itself awakened means no longer deluded. Then when that happens, that mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, karmically conditioned out for you to use, will listen to you. Because you develop the understanding, you have already trained it to have that understanding. And because of that, it's no longer deluded. Then you can use it. It's no longer like before, where you have to subdue it, force it into quiet state of samadhi or concentration. No more. Because of your understanding, your wisdom, you want it to be silent, it will be silent. It will not go against you. because you are no longer heedless. You are no longer deluded. The evil roots are no more there. The mental hindrance are no more there. Only the spiritual faculties and the enlightenment factors are there. That's why when you have these enlightenment factors, especially the enlightenment factor of sati, awareness, it is just aware, no thought. When there is no thought, there is no duality, no creation, no this and no that. That's why it's always peaceful. Then no matter what arises, the mind understands. Then if it wants to be aware, it can. If it wants to arise and develop whatever activity, it can. But it's no longer like before, heedless, simply doing all those things based on your delusion, based on your wrong view, your conditioning. All this, they will cease to be. That's how the mind transforms. Then Senhua said, the eternally dwelling true mind or true nature or clear nature, sometimes they call it the bright substance, result from putting to rest the false mind heart. This expression is correct. Putting to rest the false mind or the mundane mind, the condition arising mind, the thinking mind. When you already develop the wisdom, it will not disturb you anymore. Then you can allow it to rest. Let it. Put it to rest. Which allows the true mind to manifest. So this true mind actually is all the time there. But you cannot realize it, or it cannot shine forth, is because the mundane mind is too active. The delusion conditioned the former mind to grasp and cling and stay with the mundane mind, the thinking mind. That's why you think a lot. You become heedless. You are constantly lost in thought. This understanding is very important. That's why earlier on at Sumeru, I was sharing these two aspects of mind. You have to understand it clearly. There is a true mind, and there is a condition arising mind, or what they call the thinking mind, the mundane mind, which most living beings, when you are born into this world, there is no thinking mind. There is no mundane mind. You have the pure, true mind. But because of conditioning, because of all this education that input into your memory and your brain, all of the wrong thought, the wrong teaching, the wrong conditioning, then you start to use thought. You start to develop the heedlessness to constantly think and develop this heedless thinking, habitual tendency. Then you are taught a lot of things which are against the truth, which are not the truth and the reality, which are delusion. That's why when you are born, you are given a name. They identify you. You are so and so. And this gives rise to the egoic mind. It creates the center in you, the activity for you to respond and act from. Then when you believe you exist, this is sakyadity, self-delusion, the Buddha said. When you cling and grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being or living being, you straight away create the center, which is the egoic mind. That's why the Buddha called it self-delusion. You have an idea or a concept that you exist, you are real. And because the egoic mind, which is the center, which is the I and the me that you develop, the entity that you take, that you grasp onto, and this one will create the three evil roots. Because it will want to own thing, have thing. That's how you have craving. That's how you have greed, possessiveness, desire. So the evil roots of greed arise. then this entity also can become emotional. That's why when it becomes emotional, it can develop the anger, the aggressiveness, the envy, the jealousy, the insecurity, and all the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, followed by sorrow and lamentation. So these are the other two evil roots of hatred and delusion. So the three evil roots manifest because of the egoic mind, because of that center, the self-delusion. That is where you need to develop the understanding to penetrate the characteristics of nature, the three universal characteristics of nature. You need to insight into it to awaken to the truth of all phenomena within nature. When you have this understanding, you will awaken. Your mind will liberate. Then you will no longer be deluded. The first delusion that you will break free is self-delusion, sakkayadity. Then later on, if we have time, we will share the 3J Krishnamurti code that I sent out to you all. That one is very beautiful. That one talks about the center, which is sakkayadity, self-delusion. Okay? Then now we continue. According to the sutta, the Buddha said, good indeed, Subhati, it is as you said. The Tathagata remembers and protects all bodhisattva and causes them to be well endowed. Now listen attentively. I shall tell you, a good man, a good woman, who resolves his mind on Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, should thus subdue his mind. The English translation is not appropriate. It's not subdued. Should liberate his mind. Yes, certainly, well honored one. I want to hear. I'm delighted to listen. So that was the response from Subhati. Then we turn to the next page, the commentary by Xuan Hua. Sakyamuni delighted that Subhati came to request Dhamma for the sake of living being, praising him by saying, good indeed, good indeed. Ah, you Subhati, you are truly good. I really like you. You are my good disciple. It is as you have said. I, the Tathagata, remember and protect all bodhisattva and cause them to be well endowed by teaching the Dhamma Door of Prajna. Prajna is wisdom. You should pay attention, particular attention. He said, listen well to what I teach. You know. Do not let it be like wind in your ear. This is, I think, a Chinese proverb. If I speak the wonderful Dhamma Door of Prajna for you, and you let it go in one ear and out the other, that is just a waste of Tathagata's blood and sweat. Listen well, he said. A good man or good woman who resolves his mind on Anuttara Samyat Sambohi means to become a fully enlightened one, to cultivate, to become Samasambuddha, should thus dwell in his true mind. So now you understand why Huining always talk about the true mind, the true nature, the self nature. This is the mind that you must develop. When you are heedful, you are always with the true mind. That is what heedfulness is all about. Heedfulness got two parts, remember? What are the two parts? First part is what? Dhammapada verse 23. First part is what? Dhammapada verse 23. You must have these two criteria to qualify as heedful. First, you must have what? Sati, which is mindfulness. Then you stabilize it until it becomes ever mindful. Remember? Dhammapada verse 23 is what? The constantly meditative and ever mindful, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. So to be heedful, you need to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. Means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. In particular, the four foundations of mindfulness, which covers the whole of the three turning of the Four Noble Truths when you complete it. That's why Sama, Sati, Perfector, they cover the four foundations of mindfulness. And the Buddha said this is the only way for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for realizing the right path, for the realization of Nibbana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. And the Buddha is not wrong when he said that. Because if you complete the four foundations of mindfulness, you have completed the cultivation of mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, which includes the three turning. And that covers his whole teaching. That's why this book, down here. This book, our latest book that just came out last week, you read through it. This is based on the transcript that we had at Wu Ping Ching Se, 19th of April 2015. I explained very clearly inside there, based on the question asked by Alicia and Ingbideo and Chui. And this is a very important understanding, because the cultivation, the Buddha emphasized and repeat many, many times all over the sutta, you only need to have one type of mind. Before he died, he again reminded the monk, strive on with heedfulness. And Dhammapada verse 21 confirmed, heedfulness is so important. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. For heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this is very clear. You have to be heedful. Otherwise, there is no chance. You are as if dead, spiritually dead. So if throughout the day, you live your life in a heedless way, then how you expect to awaken? That's why you cannot have mindfulness and leading to heedfulness in the daily life. You have not cultivated the real meditation. Wisdom can only arise when you cultivate the four foundations in daily life, four foundations of mindfulness. And it's explained very clearly inside this sutta. You go back, you have not read through, you should read. Many of them have read. It has benefited them in many ways. So this one, I leave it to you to read. We will continue with what we have here. Just now, I was trying to explain to you what heedfulness is. Then now, we go through one more time. To be heedful, you must have two things. What is it? First one, you have to be ever mindful. Then, second, use that trained mind which is stabilized, has this ability to be ever mindful, means you can be in the state of paucity, not only in your former sitting, anasana, not only in retreat. You must develop this ever mindful state. That is the mind that is in sati, paucity, and come out into daily life to cultivate daily mindfulness. That is the real meditation, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Means to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why ever mindful, constantly meditative, that is heedfulness. And to have heedfulness, you must train your mind until it is always aware within. And when you are always aware within, means what? Like winning. Understand not? That self nature, that true mind, that awareness, his nature is always there. he is fully aware of it. And that is a heedful person. When you are heedful and ever mindful, you are constantly aware within. That's why you have the ability to be with that true mind all the time, and you will never be heedless anymore. And that is the real cultivation. And you want to go the full way, the Bodhisattva way, you have to have this. Even Xuan Hua mentioned this. He said, a good man, a good woman who resolve his mind on Anuttara Samyat Sambohi should thus dwell in his true mind. See? This is the first requirement. If you cannot be ever mindful or heedful, you don't qualify. That's why heedfulness is very important. So you just do. Do until the nature manifests, until sati arises, until you are naturally aware. When you are naturally aware, mindfulness, when it arises within the form and mind, the form and mind will know, like swimming. The moment you know how to float without the aid of a float, you will know what swimming is, naturally, because you experience it. So mindfulness is the same. You just relax, aware, silent your mind, develop the heedfulness, the mindfulness within. Constantly aware, ever mindful, moment to moment. Yeah. Then when you have this stability, accumulate into samadhi. Then when you can see things as they are, with sati and samadhi, wisdom will arise. Then with the wisdom, there is upekha, equanimity born of wisdom, not a conditioned state, not a mind that is in concentration or apana samadhi. Then that mind, which has upekha supported by wisdom, will know how to live life. It is so beautiful, because the mind that is in equanimity will not stir, will not react, will not do anything, and it doesn't need concentration or a conditioned state of mind to be in that state. It is in that state based on wisdom, naturally arising. That wisdom has the ability to be at peace anytime, any place, anywhere, under any circumstances. So that is the real training. Then the other second part which the Buddha mentioned is, when you can be with the true mind, when you can dwell with the true mind, ever mindful, thus subdues his false minds. The word subdue is wrong. Thus liberating from his false mind means you are not deluded by it anymore. The essential place in the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta lies in the word thus. So this Vajra Prajna Paramita is the Diamond Sutta. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. Perfection of wisdom. Vajra is like the diamond. So Xuan Hua say lie in the word thus. At that point, Sakyamuni Buddha give an indication which is not apparent to the literature. What was it like? It was thus at that point. The root of words and language is cut off. Thus means suchness. Suchness, the isness of thing, you cannot describe, because that is the reality. The place of the mind's working is extinguished, means the mundane mind has stopped chattering, stopped describing, stopped creating, stopped perceiving or dwelling. Means everything ceases. The presence of word in the mouth ends. The condition, deliberation of the mind vanishes. Task is like this. The wordless teaching instruct one to investigate Dhyan and sit in meditation. One should dwell thus. dwell at the place that is thus. One's true mind dwell at that place. One should subdue one's thought thus. One can investigate Dhyan and use the skill of still consideration naturally. Again, he used the word subdue. It's not subdue, to liberate one's false mind. Therefore, thus represent no obvious sign which emerge, but rather indicates a manner. It's actually wisdom. When there is wisdom and understanding, you can see things as they are, and you can accept the reality for what it is. That's why everything is just the way it is. Thus, can never be other way. If you want things your way, suffering will arise. And that is applicable to the mundane mind. The true mind, the true nature, got none of all this. Because it's just in a state of awareness without a center. There is no word. It's the unconditioned. That one cannot come out and live. But that one is the source, the origin. Because it is unborn. That's why it has eternal life. It will never die. Whatever that is the unconditioned is never born. That's why it never dies. And that nature is always within the living beings. And that nature is all nature. All living beings share the same source, the same nature. That's why when they define the Tao is the oneness. And the opening statement by Lao Tzu is very profound. Whatever that can be described, spoken, or talked about, is never the true Tao. So when you listen to that, it's already so abstract. Everything that you can describe or talk about is never the true Tao. Then the second statement is more profound. He said, nothing is apart from the Tao. So how do you reconcile? Anything that your mind can create is never the true Tao. But nothing is apart from the Tao. Means what? Everything that your mind can create is part of Tao. Understand? But it's not the true Tao. Understand? It's like everything that this mind can create is from the false mind. Understand? It's not the true mind. Understand? Understand? Because the true mind, the true Tao, don't have all this. It's the unconditioned. That's why that statement doesn't contradict itself. But people who cannot understand, they think it contradicts. Because the Tao Te Ching, the whole summarized teaching of the Tao by Lao Tzu is so profound. It's exactly the same as the Buddha's teaching, as a living being cannot understand. So that part is very beautiful. Then we go on. What manner is that? It is the lack of manner inherent in markless prajna and constitute real mark prajna. See, markless prajna, then real mark prajna. Actually, the true profound wisdom is when you cultivate until there is no mark. No mark means what? The understanding is such there is no mark of a self cultivating. Understand? That is the first. Sakaya ditti, the mark must remove. Then your vow to liberate all living beings. There must be no mark of any living being to save. There is the second mark. Then the third mark is what? You think a lot of Dhamma. When there is no mark of any Dhamma, that is the real cultivation to develop the true understanding of the Bodhisattva way to become Samasambuddha. That's why true prajna has got no mark. But then he used word. That's why he has to come out with the word constitute real mark prajna. Without mark is the real mark. Then we continue. Subhakti understood. Not only did he understand, he thought that future living beings could also could understand as he replied, "Yes." His affirmative declaration was the same as that once used by Confucius' disciple, The master said, "Shen, my way is treaded through by one." Zhen replied, "Yes." Then the master left, and the disciples questioned, "What did the master say?" Zhen said, "The way of the sage is that of loyalty and reciprocity." See, they just talk like that, they understand each other, and the master left. Disciples still confused, don't know what is going on. Then he said, "Confucius said, there is one true principle which runs through my way. That is my way." To which his disciple exclaimed, "Yes." When asked what the master meant, Zhen merely replied, "The sage way is one of loyalty and reciprocity." You understand not? Loyalty means what? When you are very loyal, means what? You don't cheat, don't deceive, don't have cunningness, understand? You commit yourself to this way, understand? You are very sincere. That's why I say sincerity paved the way. They use a different word. They say like loyalty to your country, to your king, your ruler. But you cannot apply to the mundane world. Your that type of loyalty can be blind loyalty, or selfish loyalty because of motive. But this one is sincerity. Then reciprocity means what? You accord and flow. You do not want things your way. You just accord and flow because you are very sincere. You got no negativity. You got no delusion. There is no mark of a self. So there is no more selfishness. There is no more a person inside there want to do anything. That's why there is no more becoming. No more delusion. No more doing. Everything is just flow. Flow is what? Harmony. Accord and flow. Without harmony, there is resistance. When there is resistance, there is suffering. There is no harmony. So this understanding is very important. When Sakyamuni Buddha instructed that living beings should dwell thus, should thus subdue his mind, their mind, Subhati also exclaimed yes and added certainly for emphasis. Then he reaffirmed his desire to hear Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching. So this is how that first second chapter end. Okay, now we stop here. We still got some time. Okay, tonight maybe we get Brother Song. Where are you? The mic is there. He told me on Thursday that he may want to share something. So I was thinking, instead of waiting for Thursday, which we are very near to Putosan trip, we might as well have it on Tuesday and Thursday. Pass the mic to him. So we'll get Brother Song to share with you something. Because this is something his nature wants to share. After the Thursday class, she came and talked to me, discussed. Okay, Brother Song, yeah. You can use Mandarin if you want.
Um, 有一天早上，我在看住那个树的时候，那个早上很 clear， and then 很 windy， 树那个风一直在吹那个树。
Yeah. Push it out all the way.
Oh, that's it. Okay, that's it.
我那个早上我一直看住那个树，连那个风一直吹，连那个树一直在 move。然后我就 suddenly 我就 recall 六组里面的一个 part， 他是讲那个风在动还是旗在动。
Yeah, good。
那么我在看住的时候，我说我现在我的心不动，看是什么样。
Yeah。
And then 当我心开始，我就开始慢慢的 silent 的时候，我就 feel 到了我这边就开始 moving，
yeah,
就开始 moving。
Yeah, yeah。
And then 我的 thought 要 arise 去 define 这个是。Bitti 还是 Sugar 的时候，然后我讲我的心不要动，现在看是什么样。
Yeah.
And then 我就 totally 的进入了 silent 了以后，我就 feel 到，那个树的每一个 moving 跟我的这里是每一个 moving 是一起
的。Yeah, 一体的。
所以我这里跟那个树是一起在 move 的， yeah, 每一个 moving 很 clear 的，一直 move， 一直 move， 很 clear。
Yeah.
And then after that， 它就 arise 了这个Upon contact, seven universe arise.
Universal, universal.
Now after that, 我就讲，哎，为什么是 upon contact seven universe arise？
Yeah.
因为在 Patijasamubada 里面，他讲这个 contact 是在第六个 link 里面。
Yeah.
那个 contact pasapachaya vedana 是在第六个 link。
对。
但是为什么我？他会讲 upon contact arise the seven universe arise， then 我就去
simultaneously arise，
then 我就去 investigate， then 我讲为什么， then 我就发现到这个 contact 很重要， then 我就自己去一直 investigate investigation， then 我用了两天，我一直去 investigate。为什么是 upon contact seven universe arise？
Seven universe，
then 我一直不断的去 silent， 我去看，等我又出来，我就去看为什么我是 upon contact。
Yeah.
Then 我在第三天的早上，我就 realize that 我们的这个 six sense door， 你一我就拿一个眼睛，你一看住这个 object 的时候，就是一个 contact。
对，
And then 当我就那一个早上，我整个 realize 就是，当我一在 contact 的时候，我在 silent mind 的时候，它只是一个 pure awareness and pure consciousness。But 如果我一 arise 我的 mundane mind 的时候，整个 seven universes 就 arise 了， and then 这个 Patijasamubada
就
跟着就 start 了。我就在那个早上的时候，我就整个就
了解了，
我就看到了，
了解了。
And then after that， 我就回去，我就去念《金刚经》。当我念到不住声香味触法身心的时候，我整个人我讲这不就是我这两天一直不断在 investigate 的 understanding， 就是这个 six sense door 我们一 contact。to 的那个 object 的时候，你的这个心不要 arise， exactly 就是这一个 sentence。Then after that， 我在 at night 我去吃饭的时候 ，on the way， 我突然间就明白到这个所有的一切的 Buddha Dharma， 这个四圣谛，这个Satipatthana， 这个八正道Patijasamubada。All this Buddha Dharma， 它是一个世间法来的，它就是给这个满天脉罢了。因为你的满天脉一直不断的 arise， 不断的 arise， 它的每一个 arise， 它要一个 Buddha Dharma 来对应。所以我就觉得你只要去 silent 的话，就没有 Buddha Dharma 了。但是 the moment 你一 arise 的时候， Buddha Dharma 就要 arise 了。然后我过后我就看到了，一切有为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观。因为这个有为法就是它去对应这个满天脉。所以这个有为法，它也是很像满天脉这样。就如梦幻泡影这样，因为我们的满天脉就很一个 arise 就很像一个 creation， 一个 dreams， 一个 illusion。它的每一个 mind， 你的每一个 mind 一 arise， 这个有为法也跟着要 arise。所以它的 characteristic 就是如梦幻泡影，如梦亦如电，就很像这个 strike， 这个电这样子，它的 characteristic。我们应作如是观。 这个如是观，你就要在 suchness 里面去观它。连这个观是很 deep 的啊 ，meaning 来的。你一定要有 silent mind， 一定要有 awareness，
等
你才能够去观到如是的去观这个一切有为法，如梦幻泡影。
对
，then from there 我才知道，我就知道了。所以什么叫做内观 Vipassana Vipassana 这个内观你一定要有 Sati、你一定要有
Silent Mind、
你才能够去从、看到它的这个 characteristic 里面
Very good
等下过后我就知道原来 Sati 是非常的重要 所以为什么Brother 你每一次一直讲 Sati 是非常的重要 因为 without Sati 的话你真的是不能够去看到这个 Buddha Dhamma、你看不到、你完全是看不到
不
and then、然后 第二天的早上我又 on the way 驾车去湖滨金色的时候 on the halfway、我整个就 understand 什么叫做心我的里面
Sado、very good.
因为以前我时常去问人家什么叫做心因为华语它的这个心是很 deep 的 meaning
yeah, yeah, yeah.
我每天去问什么是心是难道是这个 heart 一直 pop 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 这个 heart 吗就那一天的时候我就整个人就知道了什么就叫做心了
Sado
就是这样的一个、一个 process
yeah yeah Sado thank you so much we should all rejoice、That's why I tell you, the moment you connect and you understand, it's completely different. It's no more Dhamma. It's no more word. It's the understanding, the awakening. That's why now, you realize that after he connect a few months back, he keep on understanding on his own. I already told him, you don't need teacher after that, technically. You only need guidance. Then the other thing about his nature is,Now he can contemplate very deep. And he can understand and penetrate very fast. It's like I told you Huining, because he was born without the mundane mind. That's why the moment he heard the sutta, which is the truth, he will awaken already. He don't need teacher. But his mind state is really like that. But when he met the fifth patriarch only had to point out to him and explain to him a few things that are related. Then he become profoundly awaken. He came to sudden great awakening. Because it's just so simple. Understand? When you understand, it's so simple. Fifth Patriarch just told him one word only, because he knew what the self nature everything is. That's why he was so amazed. He said, no wonder living being cannot understand. Who can ever know that self nature, which is the true nature, is already complete by itself.And all Dhamma is never apart from that self nature. That creation is all from there. Then he was so amazed by this understanding. Then the fifth patriarch knew he already have the understanding of that self nature, everything. But he want Huining to link the mundane and the super mundane. That's why the Padmasuri right there, Yu Wei Fa and Wu Wei Fa is very important.Uwefa is the worldly Dhamma, conditioned arising Dhamma. Uwefa is the unconditioned. So when the fifth patriarch mentioned, he said, with that understanding, you need to understand one thing. You must know how to use that mind, he said, yet not to be affected by it. Straight away, we then came to great awakening.Because that two things, they are different. That's why he also came to realize now, Dhamma only exists for the conditioned world. Understand? That's why Heart Sutta said the same. In true emptiness, there is no formable truth. Remember? There is no birth, old age, sickness, and death. That's why he said, in the stillness, there is nothing.This type of inquiry, this type of investigation is through the silent mind. That's why he came to know why sati is so important, why the silence is so important. That's why earlier I told Mimi at the Thursday class, you continue to go deep into the silence. Don't try to know. The awakening will come by itself. The understanding will come by itself. Yeah. And this one is very penetrative. I hope it's recorded. you are eating you are how tai you hong teng but it didn't flicker 不用的 huh? 不用, 好像亮不亮 应该是有了 那个 clock 有跑吗 看一看 oh, you are the clock is running this one is most important I tell you very beautiful I will try to interpret a little bit because there are some who are English educated What Brother Song wants to share is very, very beautiful, very profound, and it's not for him. He don't need it anymore. But it's for the living being, because we are Kayanamita. And he has benefited so much earlier on from other people sharing. And it's now his turn to help, to share. That's why it's very beautiful. And there are many Kayanamita who has also shared earlier on. Then there are still some who may still be in the midst of cultivation and they are still very humble, low profile, but no problem. When the time comes, they will also share. And like I explained earlier on to many Kayanamita friends, last year it started. Remember? I said the Dhamma will flourish within the Kayanamita. And that was the year 2014. And it really flourished. And a lot of Kayanamita moved very fast. And all our transcript and book, I have never had the condition to come out with so many of these books. 6 or 7 of these very, very important transcript book came out. Especially the Heart Sutta short notes, the combined. That one is 15 months of sharing. And all compound into beautiful short notes. And that is very penetrative. Then together with 6 or 7 other books, it just came out within just 1 or 2 years. That's why I say after that, not only the Dhamma within the Kayanamita will flourish. The next year, which was this year, beginning of this year, we started off with by a lot of Dhamma friends towards the end of last year requested for this Bodhisattva way to be shared and discussed. Some of them were even amazed because they tell themselves it's beyond the wildest dream to even think of going that way. But somehow the condition fall into place and the nature like ready and knew that these are important. Then after that, we had our retreat in March. Then immediately after that, you all asked for this Diamond Sutta, I remember Hui Rong. Then Wu Pingqing Sir, Miss Lee, she actually also wanted Diamond Sutta, but I say taken already. So he settled for 6 pages of Platform Sutta. But both are beautiful sutta. Then during last year, especially the beginning of last year until March, the retreat. So many things happened. A lot of Kayanamita progress. Then the consciousness, the Kayanamita force, the Kayanamita funds help out so much. That's why there are so many of the cultivators. They develop so much faith and they are moving very fast. And a lot of them are very quiet, very low profile. But they have progressed a lot. And even like Brother Song, he is one of the few unique ones. But he is very different from what he was a few months back. I think less than 8 months. 你什么时候? 一月回来. That's why now is only September, 8 months plus. And last time he used to complain to me, I remember, "Ah, your relative," he said, "I tried so hard. How come I so slow? I so charmed. Everything also still blur, blur, cannot understand." He read my note last night 6 times, cannot understand dependent origination. that the moment he connect, he suddenly understood all the teaching and the notes. Especially the one that talk about awareness, the appendix 3, I think, the Heart Sutta short note which he brought to Rayong. What is the name of the temple? Achanan's temple. What one? What Prajama? What Macham? I cannot pronounce that word. You see, when he was there, every night he read the note 1 hour. And that was the note that actually triggered. Because it has the condition, the Singjin, the Sanskrit version. Suddenly they on the tape, the recording, the vibration went in. And because of the bowing, the asking for forgiveness to actually overcome the coming obstruction. Yeah, I told him, your time will come earlier on. Then I say, be patient. You only need 3 things. Sincerity, the faith, and diligence. All these 3 you already have in your past. So whatever that stops you is you have to ask for forgiveness. Then you have to bow. You have to develop the connection. And that was what he did before he went there. Then when he was there, he went up to Kuan Yin there again. Wow. That affinity with Kuan Yin was very, very strong. Most of you all who come, you come with affinity from Kuan Yin. Of course, there are the Bodhisattva and Buddha too. So because of that, the moment he connect, he read my book. Or notes, he understand because that note come from the silent mind. If you don't cultivate until that silent mind, forever you cannot understand the notes. You can understand maybe superficially at Dhamma level, but you cannot understand the penetrative level which demands the silent mind. If you don't go through that silence, you don't develop that type of daily mindfulness. That silence I'm talking about is a free mind, not a conditioned mind that is in concentration. Jhana or samatha or deep absorption, samadhi, not that type of mind. That is a conditioned mind, that is not a free mind. So the free mind that is silent and just aware and relax, that is the real meditative mind. That is the real tranquility, stillness, paucity. The mind that is in sati. That is the true nature that can see things as they are, that can awaken and understand all things. That's why if you cannot cultivate until the mundane mind cease or silent. The mundane mind can only cease and silent when you have straightened your views. When avijja paccaya sankhara cease to be, then there is no more avijja. Then there is no more movement, no more sankhara. That's why you can be with the moment in silent awareness, the spacious awareness. Then when you start to live life, you can be with the specific phenomenal awareness. The mind and awareness move as one. The awareness and the phenomena move as one. So all these are possible. If you really strive on with heedfulness, you need to ask for forgiveness, then repent, then invoke the power of merits, then make aspiration for causes and conditions to walk this way. Then also make aspiration for causes and conditions for this form of mind, all of the future coming, to have this type of understanding and to connect to the true nature early so that it can walk the path of Dhamma easily and quickly, so that it has more time to share all this understanding with the world, to be a blessing to all, to cultivate what needs to be cultivated, to perfect what needs to be perfected. That's why this nature of mind that come, it get connected very early. Like Sakyamuni at the age of 35, 1989. But then condition not there. So he has to wait till 2004, which was 15 years later, more or less like Huining 16 years later, after he came out from the hunters. So all these are the conditions that need to fall into place for things to happen. Then coming back to what Song share, is very beautiful, very profound. Those who understand Mandarin, you will appreciate it a lot. Just now I saw Alicia was full of joy and so much joy that the heart inside understand. So I will share a little bit of what he said. He started off by saying a few days back, he said, when he was contemplating, he said, he was in a relaxed state of awareness. Then he was observing the tree, the movement. Then there is this wind blowing. Then as it start, it create condition for his mind to recollect the Six Patriarch Sutta about the two monk Samanera, Novik monk, arguing about the flag and the wind. One say the wind move, the other one say no, the flag move. So they were arguing. Then Huining say, your mind move. He doesn't grasp at the theory, you know. Even at his level where he can understand already, he wants to investigate. You know. How can he understand? Then he was observing that tree. You know. Then he remembered what I used to tell him, silent. Then he goes into that silent. Then as he goes into the silent, that seeing, that observation is different. Then he realized the word and the perception come after. The direct seeing, there was no word. Stillness, silence. But the moment this mundane mind, the thinking mind, the worldly mind, or what they call the conditioned arising mind, want to start to move, then everything come out. Then he realized simultaneously the seven universal, they are also there. Seven universal, some of you may not heard about it, but you have the opportunity to read through the dependent origination, that book, transcript book, which I wrote about, based on the talk that was recorded about 9 or 10 years ago, I think. I forgot what year already. It's described clearly there. These seven universal are common to all consciousness. All consciousness, we are talking about the mundane consciousness, they must have these seven universal, otherwise they cannot arise. The first is contact. There must be contact. Contact of mind with the sense organ and the sense data. That upon contact, there must be also perception. They will arise simultaneously because the mind moves very fast. Then there must also be what they call manasikara, attention. Attention at the moment of sense experience. Then there is also the what they call life force. Life force. There is a Pali name for it. I forgot what is it already. Then together with it, feeling also there. Then there must be ekagata. Ekagata is one-pointedness. Means the mind must focus. Understand? If you don't focus, you cannot perceive. That's why there must be ekagata. So all this, you add them together. These are the seven universes. Then he realized, these seven universes arise simultaneously, not like what the dependent origination mentioned, the six link, understand not? Upon contact, feeling arise. Remember? Pasapajya vedana. It's not like that. This is one-dimensional. But the real paticca samuppada, dependent origin, is multidimensional. Because the moment of seeing, there is contact ready. You know why or not? The first tooling I used to explain, avijja paccaya sankhara. What is avijja? Ignorant or delusion. at the moment of sense experience. Means the moment of seeing or hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process. The moment when that contact arises, if it's ignorant contact, what happened? Yeah? What happened? Ah, if it's ignorant contact, the first link also manifests. Understand? Not? Avijja, paccaya, sankhara also there. Understand? Not? That's why that one arises first. Then simultaneously you input the content of consciousness. That's why upon contact, feeling also there. Then feeling cannot remain as pure feeling because you have delusion. You don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience. That's why yoniso manasikara is not there. Yoniso is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. If you don't have that, means what? Your feeling cannot become pure feeling, understand? Because it's grasping. So feeling become craving. That's why I told Yun Chan long time ago, you cannot cut a feeling. Wisdom is whether you have or you don't have. You cannot learn to be wise. You cannot try to be wise at the moment of contact and cut a feeling. If you have not straightened your view, if you have not developed the awakening, you will not have the wisdom. You cannot deal with sense experience. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness, dependent origination, is what, not what people think. Without wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you cannot deal with sense experience. That's why in daily life, all of your senses, they are fully engaged. Understand? And they are active. And they move at such fast speed. If you don't have a very stable mindfulness or heedfulness, if you are not ever mindful, you cannot cope with life. You cannot deal with sense experience. You will be dragged, drawn and pulled into delusion. And you become heedless so fast without you knowing it. That's why a living being cannot live life, cannot cope with life, cannot cope with sense experience. They become so heedless. They think a lot. And when they think, they start to worry. That's why they are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life, reacting to life. Preoccupied is so much activity of life. The phenomenal world is like so real. And they cannot see the unreality of form and mind. That's why they cannot penetrate. So he came to that realization. Then he knew all this Dhamma, is it? The Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination, the 12 links, the 3 evil roots, 5 spiritual faculty, 5 mental hindrance and honesty. These are Dhamma required for the conditioned world to develop understanding for the mundane mind to liberate. But the moment it has this understanding and straightened its view, it's no longer deluded. It's no longer ignorant. That's why it's no longer affected by the phenomenal world, by what the 5 aggregate of form and mind do, by what the thought create. It is no longer deluded. That's why that 5 aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being or the living being, this one, you can say, is enlightened because it's no longer deluded. And all this is possible because it's connected to that true mind, that true nature. That's why when you meditate, you're supposed to train your mind to be silent, to be peaceful, to be aware, so that it can connect to this nature. Then when it can connect, you will develop the inheritance of what you have cultivated. But you can only connect when there is no karmic obstruction, when the conditions are there, when you understand how to cultivate, when you know how to develop the causes and conditions for it to arise through your merits by invoking the power of your wholesomeness, merits and blessing. Then you aspire for causes and conditions. Then you develop affinity with all the great beings, great Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Then you develop your understanding to connect to their vow. So that all this can help you. And all this understanding comes from your own cultivation. That's why when you have that understanding, then all the Dhamma words that he come across, the Mandarin one is very beautiful. Last time, this Lai Kuei Ying also used to recite to me the phrase that what Brother Song just recite, is it? Ru Mong. What? Yiqie Yu Wei Fa. I write it down. Pamasuri. Yeah. Oh, you write it down. You recite slowly, Pamasuri, right? Yiqie Yu Wei Fa. No, not with Xingzhao, not that one. This one is Ru Mong Huan Pao Ying. This one is a very good description. Luckily we got Papa Suri, can write very good Mandarin. Ye huan e ji e ka o tiam o. Lai kwa jai la. Bo tiam a. Lepas or Alicia. Okay, very good. Yutian, Pamasri is correct. Utiama. Wow, very good. Okay, now read it out. Okay, we translate one by one. Uefa. Uefa is the condition Dhamma. Everything is just condition Dhamma. This one is very beautiful. It's like a dream. Mong is dream. Huan Paoying. Paoying is like bubble, isn't it? Bubble and shadow. Or Yingzi is shadow. So understand lah. English got translation. Ayo, why we all so... Wait. Page 190. Turn to your book, page 190. Page 69 also got. Sadhu. Actually, we are very near it. yes, at the bottom. See? All conditioned phenomena are like dreams, illusion, bubbles and shadow. Then like dewdrops and a lightning flash, contemplate them thus. So this one is a very beautiful, what they call, Diamond Sutta verse. And this one, if you can penetrate and understand, you will become very different. So this one, page 69, we are at page 41. We are at page 41, isn't it? We are at page 41 or 40? 41. So we are quite near already, 20 over pages. If you are interested, you go back and read. This is very interesting. All with mark is false and empty. If you see all mark as no mark, then you see the Tathagata. Then there is no mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of living beings, and no mark actually of Dhamma, not of a life. This is their own translation. So the first line, 一切有为法, So your wafer is conditioned Dhamma. Everything is conditioned Dhamma. The English translation from this Chen Huawan, he used the word all conditioned phenomena. It's not exact. Each here, you wafer, the meaning is everything is conditioned Dhamma. Understand? Each here, you wafer. Then, Ru Mong Huan Pao Ying. Ru Mong. Mong is dream, isn't it? Yeah? This conditioned Dhamma, they are like dreams. Understand? They are also illusion, bubbles and shadow. Huan is the, what is the meaning of the word Huan? Huan is how to make word illusion. Huan xiang, illusion. So that four words, you know, Zhu Meng, Huan Pao Ying, Huan xiang, Huan Pao Ying. So all these conditioned Dhamma, they are like dreams, illusion, bubbles and shadow. And living being think is very real. Grandma, my wife, my spouse, my children, my loved one, my property, my wealth, everything you think you own, they belong to you. That's why those who has the understanding, each year you wafer means everything is just conditioned Dhamma, conditionalizing thing. That's why they are impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling and hold, suffering arise. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity that you can grasp onto, cling onto and hold onto and say, this is me, this is I. That's why it's non-self, not a permanent and changing entity, empty. So we say, all conditioned Dhamma, they are all empty. They are like dream, illusion, bubbles and shadows. Then like dewdrops, and in a lightning flash, contemplate them thus. We read the third one. Ru Ru, Yi Ru Tian. So this one, Ru is the dew, isn't it? So, like dew, and a lightning flash, means very, very effervescent, temporary, understand? But the one I described to you one is better. What is reality? The present moment, isn't it? How stable is it? How stable is it? Split second is there and gone, isn't it? Correct or not? Now we talk, this moment, the moment I finish, is gone. The next moment, how stable? That's why in a flash of a lightning, it's gone. And this is the only reality in life. No? So how real can life be? And yet you cannot see. That's why I say, you have to contemplate it thus. So the last line, how to read? Yin zuo ru si guan. Now I want to learn this one. Because I heard people say, but I never go and read it. So now maybe it gives me condition to learn. So this is what Brother Song has shared. Alicia, thanks. So this is very beautiful. Shall we rejoice one more time? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then he straightway understand this so clearly, you know. Everything is just mind-made. That's why like the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind-made are they. When mind arise, everything come to be. Everything is condition arising, causal phenomena, just like what I explained to you. Nothing is real. Whatever that is condition arising, is unstable, in a state of flux. So how can it be a permanent, unchanging entity? How can you want to hold on to it, cling on to it, grasp onto it, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore this can be mine? Impossible. Understand? That's why he gave you the contemplation, Ru Meng Huan Pao Ying. That one is very important. It's like a dream state only, this consciousness. Then they are all like illusion, like the Buddha said. Consciousness is like a magician, remember? Illusion. Magicianist. Illusionist. Create illusion like real. Then bubble and shadow. What is bubble? Pop, gone. Pop, gone. What is shadow? Reflection. You think it's so real. That's why Mandarin word can describe the Dhamma very beautifully. Then straight away they understand and there is so much joy. So with that we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this one is very good sharing. So I really rejoice. That's why, like I mentioned in this book, if only Brother Teo can do, or Kayamita cannot do, then this teaching got no meaning. But when other Kayamita also can have that same type of understanding and realization, then it boils down to only one point. Everybody can realize it. It's up to you. Understand not? When Song came, he was doing something else. He himself know, he told me, he was trapped in that type of thought-based meditation. Then he couldn't understand that time. Then later on, he reflected, contemplated. What I teach was almost 100% opposite of what the other teaching teach. The other teaching say all this not important. Then what I share is all these are the essential Dhamma which are very important to develop the spiritual faculty. But the emphasis over the other side is not on the spiritual faculty. It's more on the meditation. You do this, you do that, develop the mind until like that. So it's totally different. Then there was no explanation, there was no clear understanding of what you are supposed to understand before you do. So this is why if you have teaching that doesn't explain to you clearly what this thing is, how can you develop the understanding? No way. That's why do not be gullible. Investigate into it, just like what the Buddha said to the Kalamas. Do not believe anything, not even the words that he spoke. That's why I investigate into all the sutta, all the teaching. Then if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. And this is how you will awaken. So this tonight sharing is very beautiful. And Hui Rong is very confident, recorded. I also checked already. So I rejoice with the wholesomeness. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So hopefully, this will give you all faith. And we all should thank Brother Song. Thank you so much. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because this is genuine Kayanamitaship. This is genuine sharing. No wonder Thursday class he came and talked to me. Said, I think I will share next Thursday. Then I think Joyce came and see me. Then they were conditioned. I think just this morning, this afternoon, lunch, he came and see me for lunch. And together with my wife, we talk. Then they were conditioned. We discuss about her cultivation. Then we even share certain things. Then all of a sudden, I remember what Song say. Then I say, tonight we will get Brother Song to share. I say, then he said she may come, but she didn't turn up. So never mind. Maybe Thursday class. We see how it goes. So when there is condition, things become beautiful, meaningful. And this one, you should listen to it again and again, the recording. It is going to be very useful, very penetrative for those who know Mandarin. Okay, so we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you all can make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and all those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, now we will do the blessing for the nation. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetocha fito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Help to bring the offering over to the other side, so that you all can share them.